I live in my body. A thought. An ideal thought. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I live in my body. A thought. An ideal thought. How many times do we think of our body as being ideal? How many times do we think of our body as being very special, very wonderful, very fantastic? How many times, far too seldom, do we think that? Now, do we think it as a thought? Our body is a thought? Truly, our body is a thought. It is one thought. Ideal body. It is one thought. The thought that our body is perfect in every single way. Now, if I were an artist and I were going to paint a picture, I would think I'm going to paint a picture. Now, I've already selected a scene, and the scene is a lake with the trees around it and a little river coming into the lake, and maybe a canoe pulled up on the shore, and some people sitting at the edge of the lake at the canoe on a blanket, and just being two people looking at the lake, enjoying it. Now, I'm going to paint that picture. I've got that mental picture in my mind. It's an ideal picture. The picture is without flaw. Now, as I think about the picture, as I think about me painting it, as I think about me taking the picture of my mind, the picture that I see in front of me, the picture that is actually there, it's a real picture, and I put it on a paper, I put it on my painting palette, and as I put it down there and I bring it forth on the canvas, what happens? Well, between the reality that I see, the reality that is, and the picture that is on my canvas, and many different things. Now, where does the change take place? Well, first, I look at the picture. I look at the picture in my mind. Let's say the picture of the scene I'm going to paint. Oh, for our references, we'll say our body. We look at the picture of our body. Now, we look at our body and we say our body is a beautiful, ideal thought. It's absolutely magnificent in every possible way. Our body is remarkable, remarkable. We don't think of our body as remarkable. We don't think of our body as being ideal. We don't think of our body as any of these things. We just think there is a body, and that body does what I want it to do. It's my house. It's my vehicle. It's where I live. It's what I do. What sort of consciousness I have in that house makes the difference of what that house is. Now, my house may be a glorious, beautiful house, fabulous in every way. My house may be a ramshackle house that is not very pretty to look at. My house may be a house that has just burned down. My house may be under construction. It's 100,000 million possibilities of our body and what it can be. Now, what is the ideal? We have, like the artist, in our mind, the ideal of our body. We have the ideal, and when we start trying to delineate that body, to define that body, to describe that body, to picture and paint that body in our mind's eye, we get in trouble. We get in trouble because, in the first place, we have no understanding of what the word ideal means. We don't really know what ideal means. What is an ideal body? What is an ideal thought? What is an ideal creation of any kind? What is it? Well, we have no idea. And then we go about thinking we're going to create it. And we look at our feet and we say, oh, they're not quite perfect. My toes are bent a little this way or that way. We look at our legs and our muscles and our arms and our muscles and we say, oh, they're not quite strong enough to do what I want to do. Oh, my goodness. I'm not like the lady who the car runs over her son and she picks up the car and takes her son out from under the car. An impossibility. And is she strained by the action? No. She does it because her ideal body can do anything. Now, can your ideal body do anything? Can my ideal body do anything? Can I accomplish anything in my heart? Can I fulfill anything in my heart? Can I reveal anything in my heart? Sure can. We've heard from Emerson that we should get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuit. And what a powerful statement that is. Get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. Now, the divine has already given us the ideal body. The divine has already brought forth the picture, brought forth the purpose, the fulfillment of what an ideal body is. And then we get in the role of the artist and we want to paint that body. We want to be a Michelangelo and bring forth the wonderful David. Bring him forth out of marble. And what a glorious creature that is. But it's not real. It's not real. That David cannot do anything. It can only be a symbol. It can only be a glorious reflection of one person's idea of what a beautiful human body would be. And in truth, it's totally out of proportion, out of line. It's immovable. It is just an ideal thought. Or you don't even want to say ideal thought. Because the ideal thought has in it motion, has in it life, has in it purpose, has in it action. And that David, however wonderful it is, will never walk. Never talk, never sing, never do anything. It'll just be a perfect expression of an idea. And it is not the full expression. Now, can we create a live David? Can we create an ideal David, the ideal body alive with life in it? With the ability to walk and talk and act and think and do? Yes, we can. Do we create a quasi-semi-live David? Yes, we can. And we do. Work is being done now on having plastic inserts within our body. Work is being done now on with a heart that just goes on forever. My goodness, reinventing the human heart. We'll talk about that. It's wonderful. There's much being done. But always we are 100 miles from our goal. We're always an infinity away from the reality. An infinity away from the reality. Now, the reality is right in our mind, right in our heart, right in our thought, right in our body, right in us, right here. The reality is here, but our ability to perceive it, to view it, to see it the way it is, its ideal form, is very limited. Because we see it with 20/20 eyes. We don't see it with unlimited vision. We gather around this human form that we call our human body. We gather around it statements like, it can only run a 4-minute mile. It can only do things. It hasn't learned to fly yet. It hasn't learned to speak every language with the with the native tongue, beautifully, fully, wonderfully. It hasn't learned to be able to do anything it wants to do. It hasn't learned to exist without food, without water, without air. And it will. It does. The ideal exists without these things. In truth, it does. But are we ready? Are we ready to live in this body? It's a thought, an ideal thought. We are living in it. Our main objective and our main desire is to know it. When you know it, you are it. When you know music as a musician, playing the piano, for instance, you play it beautifully, you do it lovely, you know it, but you don't know that you know it. You don't know what you're going to do next. You sit at the piano and you play a piece of music by Mozart. You play a composition that has already been written down, that already has emotions, feelings, attitudes to it, and you play it either mechanically, just by note, by note, by note, and perfectly, or you play it with feeling and with emotion, with drama, magic in it. And that doesn't begin to express how Mozart actually wrote his music. He wrote his music letter perfect. He wrote his music because he heard it in his heart. That was the purity of his soul, of his being, of his life, of his way. And he was fantastic as a musician. He lacked a bit in other areas of his life, but he was fantastic as a musician. Now, we are fantastic in every area of our life. We are the ideal thought of a being. We are the ideal thought of body. We are it completely, perfectly, wonderfully, dramatically, dynamically right now, but we say to ourselves, we are not. We are the ideal being, and yet we say to ourselves right now that we would like to be more. We would like to be able to be untouched by illnesses, be untouched by weather, be untouched by the world around us, by what's going on in the world around us, what kind of weather is there, what kind of attitudes people have. We'd like to be untouched. We would like to live in our fantastic bodies. We'd like to be unconditionally loving. We'd like to be one-pointed in everything we do. We'd like to be unpossessed by the body. The body is amazing and wonderful. We'd like to have no judgment about the body. We'd like to dedicate the body to our purposes, determine the body in our way, be diligent with the body in our life, and be disciplined in the realization that our body is an ideal thought. Right now. Our body is the ideal completion right now. It's the music Mozart wrote, the composition that revealed something from deep within his soul. That's the ideal music. And his music will live on in eternity, in perpetuity. It will live on for all mankind to enjoy. Now, there are many artists, many composers of music who write music, and it's fad music that lasts for a period and then is gone. There are many people who try to do things, try to create things, try to bring forth things, and they do it to a degree. But if it does not have an eternality about it, if it doesn't have a perpetuity about it, a beingness that is just so magnificent, that is so fantastic, that it stands on itself as the ideal thought, it will fade away too. But our bodies, your body and mine, is an ideal thought. And our greatest joy in life is to search out that thought, to express that thought, to say, I have perfect skin, I have perfect bones, I have perfect system in my body of blood, of lymph glands, of every attitude the body can have. I have a perfect brain in my body, which uses the universal mind and lets it be a vehicle of the universal mind. And I go on and on with what my body is, the ideal thought my body is. And at no time do I limit it. At no time do I say my body can or can't do anything. I just do it. Mozart didn't say he couldn't write the music. He just wrote it. Other composers of like ilk have written music, and they just did it. Something in their spirit said, express this. Put this down on paper. Play this. Let the world hear it. Artists paint pictures, and they will look at a scene, and they will paint the scene. And you look at the scene, and then you look at the picture, and you say, yes, that's the same scene. And the picture is dramatically different from the scene, but the picture picks up the feeling of the scene, the attitude of what the artist painted, so that you can see it just like he did. He enunciates the logs lying by the side of the road. He enunciates the beautiful flowers popping forth, and one of them just stands forth like the Empire State Building. Wow! Just right out of nothingness, it stands forth, and you'll never forget it. And you too, as you walk through life, you will look at the fields of beautiful poppies, and you will see one that is more glorious than all the rest, and yet it isn't more glorious than all the rest. It's just that you saw it, and your eyes lit upon it, and your eyes realized that that was a glorious flower. And you looked at a beautiful woman, or you looked at a handsome man, and you says, there's my ideal. And yet, if you were to know these people, they'd be far from ideal. They have not yet revealed the ideal that they are, but they give you a glimpse of the ideal. They give you a feeling of the ideal. When we can take our thoughts, our mind, our attitude, when we can tune in to the infinite cosmic mind and realize that we can know the ideal body, the ideal mind, the ideal allness. We can know it. We can be like Mozart and write down letter perfect free, note free, perfect, without any erasures, that music that he transcribed from his heart to the paper. When we can do that, we will do it. We have young geniuses who have a great artistic talent in them, and they do it. They have a great talent in them to be scientists of immeasurable skill and genius, and they're doing it. We have entrepreneurs that are in their early years doing wonderful things, doing things that people could never have dreamed of doing. And the greatest and the wealthiest and the happiest and the healthiest people who look at the work of these young geniuses would be so delighted if they could even touch the hem of their garment, if they could even touch the thought system these people are using. And we can. We can and we do. We can and we do as we let go and let the divine in us reveal itself to us. As we get out of the way of the divine in us, get our bloated nothingness, as we are told, and really we're not bloated nothingness, but if we get our limited attitudes about who and what we are out of the way, when we get these limiting attitudes that say we can't do it, or it's tough to do, or I will never achieve it. Ours is not to achieve anything. Ours is only to be. To be the ideal being that we are. We are it already, but we are not aware that we are it. And this awareness is the key to being who we are. This awareness is the key to revealing from within ourselves the magic, the glory, the goodness that we are right now. It's a beautiful, wonderful expression, a beautiful, wonderful possibility. And we have that possibility within us right now that we can use and we can express and we can live and we can enjoy and we can have now. We have to have the simplicity in us of a Mozart who transcribed what he heard within him. He didn't try to change it. He didn't try to interpret it. He didn't try to make it different than it came to him. He just revealed what came to him. And when Michelangelo presented us with his great David, he didn't try to interpret it. He didn't try to change it. He saw David in that chunk of marble, and he brought him forth. The marble in itself was even flawed, but the flaw was outside of the area that David was inside of. All of us can create the ideal being we are in our thought. It already exists, but we create in our mentality. And what we do by creating, we tear away all thoughts that say, it is to be. All thoughts that say it does not already exist. All thoughts that say it is to be. And we live in the now, which is a training and a teaching we can handle for ourselves, but we haven't done it yet. We can live in the now, and we can be the divine being, the ideal man, ideal woman, ideal creature that we are right now. And when we are, we will be that so that anyone who looks at us will see the ideal man. They may not comprehend it, but they'll see it. We will see ourselves as the ideal being. And we, too, may not comprehend it, but we'll see it. Because to comprehend an ideal at any time, an ideal man, ideal object, ideal concept, to comprehend that at any time takes true magic in our being. But when we think in our being that it is there, it does exist. We could not conceive of it. We could not dream of the possibility of it being unless it were there already, unless it already existed as its ideal expression. And it's only up to us to let go of our limited ideas about all of life and see the ideal idea of all of life in everything we do, in everything we think, in everything we say, in everything we are. Just be it and live it now and forevermore. We will need no erasure as we copy down what we hear from within us, what we see from within us, what we are within us. We copy down the ideal. We make the ideal conceivable, knowable, believable. And as we do that, we are magic indeed. And training ourselves to do it, we train ourselves to be prepared to receive the awareness of the ideal body, the ideal thought, the ideal all. For that's who you and I are, right now, the ideal. I accept it, you accept it, and it is done. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.